Now, capital and financing of companies. Let us look at that. What is the concept? Now, there is something called fixed concept. Now, the Act of 2013 does not define the term capital. Okay, but capital when we look in the terms of business context, it refers to the money that is invested in the business, which can be by land, building, plant, machinery, tangible assets, intangible assets, anything. Okay, when I say intangible assets, they are your goodwill, your trademark rights, your patent right, intellectual property rights. These all are called the fixed assets or fixed capital of the company. Okay, now there is something which is called a working or floating capital. Now, the money which is used to buy holding stocks or generated accounts receivable during the course of business and outstanding, and the bank and the cash balance which is held as on the date of the balance sheet are considered as a working or the floating capital. Okay, so if you understand, there are two types of capital, one which is fixed and one which is working. Now, when these two together are put, they together constitute the capital of the entire capital of the company. Now, this total company capital of the company is mobilized in two forms. One is ownership of securities and the other is creditorship securities. So, ownership securities are by way of shares which are issued plus the retained earnings, okay, of the company, whereas creditorship securities are debentures of various kinds and the loan bonds. Now, company form of business organization is best suited to raise funds compared to sole proprietorship and partnership. That is one of the reasons why company becomes very handy, okay, because an individual entity like a sole proprietorship or partnership cannot ask for funding, but a company can ask for funding because the capital of a company can be raised through public issue of shares, and a company can appeal to large number of people to contribute to the share capital, which cannot be the case with sole proprietor or partnership. In fact, even investors generally do not go ahead and invest in sole proprietor or partnership because there is a lot of instability in sense of continuity of the business. Okay, and different types of shares can be issued which suits the requirement of the type of investors, which is again not available in sole proprietor or a partnership firm. Now, the reasons being because there is no limit to the number, and this is more particularly important from the perspective of a public limited company or the listed companies, because there is no limit in the number of owners. A public company can issue shares to larger number of shareholders. So naturally, the share capital of a company would be large, of a public company is large. Now, secondly, public company can augment its funds through issue of debentures and accept the public deposit. The public financial institutes also are the ones who are willing to finance public companies by underwriting shares, okay, by investing in securities and by direct lending, which brings in stability in the capital of the company. Now, share capital. What is a share capital? A company raises its capital through issue of shares. The way we saw the IPOs are the FPOs. Now, the share capital of a company consists of individual shares of fixed denominations, and the shares of public limited company are transferable. Now, the share capital of a company may be nominal, authorized, or registered to share capital, issued capital, paid up capital, or reserved capital. Now, what is a nominal, authorized, registered share capital? Now, this the nominal authorized registered share capital refers to the amount of share capital that a company is incorporated with. Okay, it is the share capital which is mentioned in the memorandum of association of the company, and you will also find its mentioned in the capital clause in the memorandum of association company. There is a clause which is called as a capital clause. Even that contains the total capital, which is the share capital of that company which is authorized to issue. Now, what is issued capital. So that is the nominal or authorized or registered share capital. The second is the issued capital. Now, what is issued capital? This the issue capital refers to that portion of the authorized capital which a company decides to issue for public subscription. Okay. Now, the issued capital can be less than or it can be equal to the nominal capital, which we saw in the earlier slide. Now, normally, a company may not issue the complete nominal capital for public subscription. The third is the subscribed capital. Now, the entire number of shares that a company issues to public, it may or may not be subscribed by the investing public. So, subscribed capital refers to the portion of the issued capital which the investing public subscribes to. So, for example, my issued capital is 100, out of which the public has subscribed to only 50 shares. So, the 50 shares would be the subscribed capital. Now, a good company will be able to achieve a good response to the share issue. So, for example, recently there was Bansal Wires IPOs. It went oversubscribed, and even in the gray market share, the price was quite high. So, a good company always achieves or mostly achieves a good response to the share issue. And in such case, the entire issued capital becomes the subscribed capital. And oversubscription or undersubscription all depends on the confidence that is reposed in the investing public. Okay. Now, what is the called up capital? This capital refers to the portion of the issued capital which the company calls on shares. Okay. Paid up capital. This refers to the portion of the called up capital which is paid by the shareholders. And uncalled capital is the remainder of the issued capital which is not called up. So the term itself, the name itself makes you understand what is an uncalled share capital. Now, the company may call the uncalled capital anytime, which is all these are governed or it is subject to the terms of issue, okay, and the provisions that are given in the articles of association. It just can't go ahead and call it anytime to their whims or fancies. Okay, it has to be according to the in consonance with the articles of association and terms which of the issue. Okay, reserve capital. Now, what is reserve capital? It is that portion of the uncalled capital which can only be called only in the event of winding up. So it is that it is kept reserved. Nobody can touch the capital. Now, in the past hundreds of slides, we have always time and again come through the word shares. So what are these shares? Okay, when we say share of the company, what does it mean? Now, the share capital of a company is divided into certain indivisible units of a fixed amount. Okay. Now, each of such an indivisible unit is called share. So, for example, we say that, there is this 100 rupees. Okay. So, each 1 rupee when divided, that 1 rupee could be the share. Okay. These are the fractional part of the share capital of the company. So, the capital of the company is 100. So, then let's say there are 10 subscribers. So, how many shares would be divided it into 10? If there are 1,000, so 100 divided by 1,000. So, the number that will come will be the share. Now, how does the Companies Act, this is a very generic idea. How does the Companies Act define? The Companies Act defines share under Section 2, subsection 84. A share means a share in the share capital of the company, and it includes stock, except where a distinction between stock and share is expressed or implied. Now, what are the different classes of shares? There are different types of shares. Let us look into these different shares. Equity shares. Equity shares do not carry preferential rights enjoyed by the preference shareholders. Okay, in other words, equity shareholders do not enjoy the two important preferential rights: the preferential right as to payment of dividend, the preferential right as to repayment of capital at the time of liquidation of the company. Okay, so equity, the term equity means equal. So in you get equal rights in the profits, you get equal liability in terms of loss. Okay, but preferentials are the ones who are preferred. When it will come to payment of dividend, they would be preferred, the way the word defines preferral. If it goes into the company goes into the liquidation during the repayment of capital, the first person to be paid would be the preferential shareholder. Okay, now preference shares have preferential right as to payment of dividend and right to return of the capital when the company goes into liquidation. Now, what are the different kinds of preference shares? So we have equity share, preference share. Under preference shares, we have cumulative preference shares, non-cumulative, participating, non-participating, convertible, non-convertible, redeemable, irredeemable. Okay. Now, what are the advantages of having a preference share capital? The company in these circumstances can mobilize funds from these investors who prefer reasonable safety of their capital and a fixed rate of return. Now, funds can be raised by the company without diluting the control, because the preference shareholder doesn't get much of any kind of control. The capital in form of preference shares can be raised by the company for a longer term without creating charge or mortgage on the assets. Okay. Unlike the debenture, because debenture is like you are giving a loan to the company. Preference shares provide flexibility in the financial arrangement of the company. By inserting a redemption feature, management can keep the door of company open for alternative source of funds for further financing. Now, what are the rights enjoyed? These are the benefits of having the preferential shares. Now, what are the rights that a preference shareholders enjoy? They enjoy preferential right of, in terms of when payment of dividends. As I said earlier, that when the payment of dividend is to be made, preference is first given to preference shareholder. Then preference shareholders may also agree with the issuing company to participate in surplus profit after paying dividend to equity shareholders. The cumulative clause will provide for the accumulation of dividend in a year when a dividend is not given because of non-availability of profit. Though the preference shareholders do not enjoy normal voting rights, they can vote on all matters that affect their interest. And right to redemption is an important right wherein the preference shareholder will get the repayment of their capital, and they get the preference first above anyone else, above the equity shareholder. Now, issue of shares. Now, the share can be issued either at par, at a premium, or a discount. This issue at par, what is issue at par? It is normally where shares are issued at par value or face value. That is, a price is written on the face of the share certificate concerned. There are no restrictions thereupon to issue shares at par. When shares are issued at premium, now there are growth oriented company with good prospect so they issue the share at premium, so which is above the price value of so if the face value is 10, you are getting the share at 300, so it is with a premium. Now, there are no legal formalities to be observed while issuing the shares at the premium, and company is free to make an issue whenever it desires so. But the company is also free to charge varying premia in respect of the shares of the same class. And issue of share at discount. Now, where shares are issued at a consideration which is less than the value, okay, and when we talk of value, the par value, the face value, it is said that the issuance of share is at discount. Now, a company is permitted to issue share at discount only if provisions of section 54 is complied with. What does it say? It says that the share must be of a class already issued, and at least 1 year must have elapsed since the company became entitled to commence business. Okay. Now, what is issue of sweat equity shares? Now, section 54, the sweat equity shares mean Equity shares issued by a company to its directors or employees at discount or for consideration other than cash for providing their know-how or making available rights like IPR or value additions by whatever name called. So, for example, I'm an employee. Let's say I'm an advocate and I come there and I am giving my valuable service of professional advice. So, I am given shares. Let's say I'm an independent director. So, I'm given just an hypothetical. I'm given equity shares which are in a discounted rate. So, that will be called a sweat equity share. Now, what are merits of shares? Share helps the company to raise capital. Okay, companies have many sources of raising capital, and the most and this is again for the public limited company where they sell shares. Except for share capital source, other sources are very, very painful, selling the company assets, etc., etc. If I take loan, I have to, let us take two scenarios. I'm a company and I need funds. Now, there are two ways to achieve, okay? Either I take loan. When I take loan, I have to pay interest on those loans. But when I issue shares, okay, I am giving certain profits or in the company, but I don't have to issue, I don't have to pay the interest, right? So this becomes, it doesn't really be, and it's again not an obligation that it has to be paid in the fixed amount. So for example, someone takes my shares at 300 rupees in 2021. I am not obligated to pay to the subscriber rupees 300 on his share. It may vary depending on what is the value of the share at the time of sale. So if it's a lower price, then I won't be obligated to pay 300 rupees. If it has come down to 200, I will be required to pay only 200, right? So the obligation to pay fixed amount is also not there. Now, rate of dividend in case of preference, the dividend is to be paid to shareholders only when sufficient profit is earned by the company. Otherwise, dividend is not compulsory to pay. And even after earning profits, the board may skip dividend due to wanting of liquidity. Okay, because or utilization of profit for the working capital or immediate expenditure that is required. So dividend can be said that okay, we are not going to pay the dividend. So there is no compulsion on that as well. Share also helps in. It's a very good source of generating long-term finance because issue of shares as a source of capital need not be paid back immediately. There is no term that, like for example, when I'm taking loan, I have to repay the loan at say 5 years. But that is not the case with the shares. Okay, it serves as a long-term and permanent source of income. And funding is committed to the concerned business or project, okay? But owners of shares, that is the investors, can realize their money at any point by selling their shareholdings. And that is, that is a little flip side for the working of the business. But if the company is doing good and has a very good holding and name in the market in terms of its shares, so generally public also continue to hold the shares of the company. The sale and resale of the shares does not affect the capital position of the company, and that is the reason it is considered as a strong source of the long-term finance for the company. The third is the credit worthiness. Now, raising capital through shares does not affect any asset position of the company. It in fact enhances the credit worthiness of the company when so for example, when everyone is subscribing to a particular company, everyone says, oh, this is a very good company, it will give good returns. So the credit worthiness also increases. And because of the increase in credit worthiness, it raises the the company can raise further capital on the security of these assets. So this way it eases the further flow of the capital to the company. The next benefit is trading on equity. Now, share capital is considered as a risk capital. In good times, the company can take risk of raising more capital through debentures and other borrowings in good times. Okay, but in bad times, the company can trade on equity, which means that it varies its debt equity ratio and find the money for its working capital. And during such bad period, it can lean on the equity shares because it provides a good playing field to balance the good and the bad time of the company. And the next benefit is the cost of capital. Equity share capital is comparatively less expensive when you compare it to the borrowed capital. The way I said, if I am going to take a loan, it becomes more expensive. It creates a liability on the balance sheet of the company. So it is considered as ownership security, and shareholders are considered as the residual claimants of the earnings of the company. There are growth advantages because the burden of the cost of capital is almost zero. Shareholders will be benefited only by the growth of the organization through good governance. The shareholders acquire voting rights and also can voice in the management of the company. So they get kind of ownership. And active shareholders do control the operations of the company through their voting rights. Right? Profit and wealth maximization happens because through raising the capital through shares, it reduces the cost and the company grows in terms of increased profit and value of assets. Okay, and not all profit or assets of the company will be distributed to the shareholders. By the company, by retaining major profit of earning, adds to the value of the asset of the company, and which obviously creates the better stability and good image of the company. Share capital gives you the voting right, okay? And because share capital as a major source of finance, and legally all these big and small shareholders are owners, so they get a voting right, and that thereby every shareholder gets the right and becomes a decision maker in the working of the company during its annual general meeting. Now, what are the demerits? Because as we all know, every side has its plus and minus. Now that we have seen the plus side, let us look at the minus side. What are the demerits of having a shares? Now, it is demanding and time consuming. Why? Because the process of IPO or FPO is a long drawn process. You know, it might feel that, oh, the IPO has come and it's done. But the working of for issuance of IPO, the preparation starts maybe a year or a year and a half prior. And that way it is because you have so many compliances to be done. And there are certain key takeaway the way the company has to function in the terms of, you know, for filing their prospectus. So it's a long drawn, time consuming process. And trading on equity, not possible. If the company relies only on equity capital, okay, trading on equity cannot take place, and shareholders will be put at loss during the growth and successful period of the company. So that is one demerit. Overcapitalization, the issue of more shares to raise capital results in overcapitalization, this puts the morale of the investors down because the number of shareholders also increases. Now, as a share also, shares once issued cannot be paid back till liquidation or winding up of the company, the capital structure of the company will not be flexible. So if nobody is going to sell the share, that's why sometimes, you know, there are buyback of shares also which happens. Now, investors' anxiety is the greatest fear of all times, because when more funds are to be raised through share capital, investors always look out the background of the promoters and study the financial statement. And in both cases, investors wait too much to invest in the company, and that causes delay. Now, for in terms of investors' anxiety, I would also say that, you know, if you must have seen that at times shares are sold in such a huge manner that it creates issue for and reduces the share of the amount of per share in the of the company. The companies also have a huge legal hurdles. The companies will have to pass through various legal barriers to raise share capital. Equity share is subjected to hectic speculation of the stock market, which is never in the interest of the company. Recession period time period management. Now, during the recession period, earnings will be less and the rate of dividend also comes down, which brings a loss on liquidation. Okay, and at the time of liquidation, shareholders will be the last recipients of the proceeds of realization, to the extent there are times when shareholders do not get any money. They may not get money. Now, let us look at the mode of issue of securities, how the securities are issued. As we know, there are two types of companies. One is public company, the other is private company. The public company, how do they issue their securities? By public offer, by private placement, rights issues, and bonus issues, right? However, the private company does not have public offer at all. They can give private placement, bonus, and right issues. So public, the only thing differs in between public and private is the public offer. Rest placements are available. Now, Section 23 of the Companies Act contains provisions relating to the mode of issue of security as to how it is done. Okay, now this is a very important provision because it governs entirely the issuance of securities by public company. Public offer is made through prospectus. Okay, this mode of issue of share is applicable to the IPOs, further public offer, or offer for sale by an existing shareholder. So prospectus is a very important document. Any public company which intends to make a public offer has to obtain permission from the stock exchange to permit the listing of the shares. Therefore, the public offer can be made only by a listed company, not by an unlisted company, even if it's a public company. What is a private placement? Private placement means the offer of securities or invitation to subscribe to securities to a select group of persons through private placement offer letter. Okay, Section 42 of the 2013 Act speaks about it. 42(2) limits the number of the subscriber in case of private placement to 50 or such number as may be prescribed, and it excludes the qualified institutional buyers and employees of the company. Now, rights issue. It is under Section 62. According to Section 62 of the Act 2013, if a public company wants to increase its subscribed capital by allotment of further shares after 2 years from the date of its formation or 1 year from the date of its allotment, whichever is earlier, should offer share at first to the existing shareholders, which will be in proportion to the shares held by them at the time of offer. Okay, these offers or this issue is called the rights issue. Bonus shares. Now, issue of bonus shares. 63, Section 63 of the Act speaks of bonus shares. A company may be by following a policy of not distributing all the profits every year. Okay, it may accumulate large reserve over that period of time. If articles so permit, it may convert this profit, a part of these reserves, into share capital by issuing fully paid bonus shares to the existing shareholders. Okay, so bonus is something given in addition to what is usually or strictly due. It is distributed amongst the shareholders in addition to dividend by making partly paid shares fully paid free of cost. Thus, the issue of bonus shares helps the company to capitalize the undistributed profit by paving way for increased resources and earning capacity of the company. What is now the further issue of a share capital? Now, a company may require additional funds for financing its expanding business, and for this purpose, it may decide to make a subsequent, or the word as it says, further issue of shares under one of the on the following conditions, okay, or either of it. When the share capital already issued is less than the authorized capital of the company, and proposed further issue of the share is within the limits of the authorized company. And when the share capital already issued is equal to the authorized capital of the company, and the intended further issue of the share is therefore beyond the limits of the authorized company. Now, receiving of applications. Let us look at the steps which are involved in receiving of the applications. Okay, for the steps involved in issue of prospectus and receiving of application is thus. First, a banker is appointed, underwriters and brokers are appointed. Then one goes ahead, these bankers and underwriters, advise on how to go about with the procedure of the listing. Then a securing of stock exchange quotation is done. After that, public issue of shares is done, where approval and filing of prospectus, publicity and issue of prospectus, receiving of applications, scrutiny, sorting, closure and recording of application is done. Now, then comes the allotment of shares. The application for shares by intending shareholders is an offer for purchase of shares. And when accepted by the company, it is known as the allotment of shares. So, there is an IPO, for example, there is IPO. Public will go ahead and issue, give applications along with the money. In the board resolution, the company will say, okay, these many we are, giving the shares and these we are rejecting. When these company accept the application, it is known as allotment of share. Now, allotment is merely the act of allotting, distributing and appropriating the shares of a company to the persons who have made application in response to the IPOs or the contract which has already been entered. Now, a valid allotment of a company must be in accordance with the provisions of the Companies Act, read with the provisions of the Indian Contract Act. The provisions relating to the allotment of shares contained in the Companies Act are registration and issue of prospectus, minimum subscription, application money, the application money to be deposited in the scheduled bank, refund of application money in specific cases, opening of subscription list, prospectus to be delivered to the registrar, and compulsory listing of all public issues. It has been made compulsory for every public company which makes an issue to the public to arrange with one or more recognized stock exchanges to list its shares. So listing is compulsory. Now, transfer of shares. So we have looked at what are the kind of shares, what is the nature of shares. This is one of the most important nature of shares. The shares in a company is a movable property. Okay, it can move from one to the other. It is a paper. I mean, earlier it used to be paper. Now it's in DMAT format if it's a public company. So now, in fact, I am not too sure whether or not, but there were talks of getting even the private company shares dematted in a dematerialist form. DMAT is a short form of dematerialized forms. So the shares in a company are movable property and they can be transferred in manner which is provided in the articles of company. Now please remember, when we say it manner provided by the articles of company, the articles of company has to be within the parameter of the Companies Act or as per the provisions given under the Companies Act. If the articles of company goes beyond the Companies Act, that particular terms or rules or regulations will be striked off by the court. Okay, so it has to be within the ambit of the Companies Act. Now, shares are personal property of the shareholder and he has the power to transfer his shares. It is an absolute right that cannot be taken away by any provision in the articles. Okay, even if the articles are putting restrictions, it cannot be divorced of the company's provisions of the Companies Act. It cannot say that, look here, once you become the shareholder, you cannot sell it. No, it is transferable. The restriction could be put like you can't directly sell it to the outsider. You have to like in private company, you have to first give it to the other directors. It is which is called a right to refusal, first refusal. If ROFB is not done, then
the
it may, I mean, ROP is met with, and nobody purchases the share within the shareholder, within the directors and shareholders of a private company. It can be sold outside to a third party. Okay, but it has to be in accordance. It cannot say that you just cannot transfer. Transferability is the most important ingredient and function of a share. Now, where there are no articles, in absence of such restriction in articles, the shareholder can transfer his shares to any person, whether it is a pauper or it is made to escape the liability. Okay, but this transfer has to be real and bona fide. It cannot be out and out disposal of the property without retaining any interest in the shares. Okay, now there is difference between transfer and transmission. Okay, transfer, the word transmission is put in contradiction to the word transfer in the Table A of the Companies Act 2013. Now, transfer is by act of the parties, where I agree to transfer my share to B. That is act of a party. But transmission is something by operation of law, that it becomes transmitted. Okay, now the transmission is by operation of law. Now, when the transmission of share means transfer of title, transfer of ownership of the shares. Okay, now this transmission of shares signify involuntary assignment of shares. Why involuntary? Because it is by operation of law. The share passes not by act of the party, but by operation of law.